Today's talk is entitled Bring Out Treasures. And I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 13. I can barely read my eyes from a distance. Matthew 13, verse 52. It's really encouraging and inspiring how we heard in the spiritual gifts. And one talked about having on the right garments from that side of the room, and another from this side of the room I heard about you cannot put a new cloth and sew it onto an old cloth because it subtracts, it rends, it looks odd. It's starkly different. It's a contrast. It's not what we do. And you know, where encouragement is to really look into the Word of God so we can bring out new things. So it really lends itself to what I'm talking about there. And bring out treasures is about bringing new things out in our walk, in our relationship, in our growth concerning the things of God. I'm going to read it out on the Amplified. I'm going to read out some modern day translations as well. Matthew 13, verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure new things, things new and old. We're talking about increasing. Bible tells us he must increase. We heard that in the opening preamble that Pastor Colin was talking about. And it's not about this, that, and the other. It's, you know, we must decrease. He must increase. And that's what it's got to be. As old self, the flesh, and we heard in the spiritual gifts, I have not come, or I'm not trying to save your flesh. We heard that very clearly in the spiritual gifts. But I'm here working in you daily to save your spirit against that day. Really clear messages. You're here today. You can't afford to take your walk and be callous about your walk. It's your only one lifetime opportunity to getting into eternities. Coming together. We heard the idea in the old times. They came together daily. We have set aside times, and life is busy. And if we know the things of the flesh are going to be swept aside, we cannot be busy enough to miss the coming together of one another. And Bible tells us like the manner of some, and it's a theme which is constant, because we all need to be reminded. In verse 52 in the Amplified, this is what he says. This is a really powerful scripture, just the one verse there. Really goes into a lot of detail. In the Amplified, he said to them, therefore, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who has been instructed about and trained for the kingdom of heaven and has become a disciple is like a householder who brings forth out of his storehouse treasure that is new and treasure that is old, the fresh as well as the familiar. Applying the word of God seamlessly take effect in our lives. And as we heard in one of the spiritual gifts, don't neglect me. And if you don't neglect the Lord says he will show us great and wonderful things. So that's the inference there, and so on and so forth. In another translation, then Jesus said to them, so every teacher of the law, that is the scribe, who has been taught about, become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner or the head of a house. He brings out both new things and old things he has saved from his treasure storeroom. We heard these kind of things, and it's from the heart. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. He brings out from his treasure storeroom knowledge of the Old Testament and provides insight into Jesus' new message of the kingdom of God. Another translation, and I'll lead to it, it said, then you see how every student well-trained in God's kingdom as like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it. So, you know, basically, it's that, you know, someone who's apt and able to teach and ready, able to pass on. And not all of us are teachers, not all of us are pastors, but we're all evangelists, and all the people said, and we're well able to bring out the words of salvation, to give an account of the hope that is in us. Anytime, any day, we can be sleeping from we're waking up from a deep sleep and say, what's the doctrine? What is the message of salvation? We should be able to say that and share it up with other people. So for me, what I get from this when I read it is this: bringing up new and old treasures basically talks about a growth mindset. You need to have a growth mindset. If you don't have a growth mindset, you will fall by the wayside. You've got to keep growing. Jesus Christ also expects us to walk in the Spirit, to become teachers and the disciplined ones. That is what we call disciples. So if you are a disciple, going back to the uncle scripture, Matthew 13, we're saying you're somebody who has got a growth mindset. You're learning. You learn, you bank. You learn something new, you bank. And you know when to bring from the old and to add to the new and to give out to others. But they also may increase. Okay, you don't learn and throw away. You don't learn and store in a cupboard. God has not given us a Holy Spirit as a thing of a display in a chest, in a sort of display chest or something, to be taken out only on grand occasions. In fact, God has given us things which others will put into a chest. Actually, all the fine china, the Ming china and all that sort of stuff, actually, you're meant to use it as everyday use. Put it in the dishwasher, use it. Don't put it there as a sacred thing. It's for everyday use. And all people said, that's the word of God. Everyday use is what the Lord is teaching us here. One that walks in the Spirit is one that is consistent in the disciplined way. So if you're a doctor, if you're in the sciences, and even into the arts, it's interesting when you listen to people who talk art. I used to tease my wife. She loves that and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I'm not going to, there's a colloquial word which I'm not going to use here for sake of offending anyone. And but when people talk art, sometimes I just laugh. They're like, you know, I'm not really, I like art, but in the sense that I'm not deeply into it. But people are inspired in many ways, whether it's music, whether it's fine art, whether it's sculptures, there is a sense of admiration in this thing. And why shouldn't there be? Why shouldn't there be that deep sort of inspiration? Because after all, we are made in the similitude and image of our Father, and He's a creator. I mean, you only have to look at all of us. We're a wonderful specimen of living sculptors. And that's what we are. We're different. We are unique. Each and every one of us is not quite the same. Can you imagine having two of me? The world would be a fine place. and it's beautiful that we can admire each other. We all have unique things that we can learn from each other and share one with another. But you know what? Together, each and every one of us is the sum of it all. You and me are the sum of the body of Christ. One alone is not. But all of us are the sum of it. We are the sum of each other. I know what people said. You know, we need to consistently walk in the Spirit. We need the Spirit to keep teaching us. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you're someone that has a growth mindset. We don't want people. God doesn't want people with a fixed mindset. How do you learn? How do you grow? How do you increase? Just three characters I like to share with you. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, if you go with me to 1 Samuel, by the end of this talk, I'm going to leave with you the five effectual habits or characteristics of saints with a growth and not a fixed mindset. Five things we're going to leave behind, we're going to establish today. If you go with me to 1 Samuel, David as an example of somebody with a growth mindset, you might think, with all the things that David went through, you're thinking, well, how is it possible that he had a growth mindset? Well, he did. If we bring up the first slide, please, and just show you that. This is the cycle of faith. I put this together a few years ago, and it all starts with belief. And from belief, the word of God, all of us, we kind of heard the word of God. Somehow there was a catalyst. We believed, and that led to salvation. We got born again, so to speak. If we carry on walking, then the Lord will give us that promise on that day. And then through obedience, that's walking in the Spirit, daily obeying the word of God. As you obey the word of God and you continue therein, you'll find that you're able to draw down the promises of God. It's evergreen and it carries on again. Belief, salvation, you keep yourself. And so your first time you get saved, and then as you walk on, you're now in a state of saved state, but you have to keep walking. You can't say, well, I'm saved now and everything's okay. No. Every day is a new day. You can't rely on what you did yesterday. It's today. What you did today matters more than what you did yesterday. It's a fresh thing. That's why we're given fresh bread. That's why we've come together. Because otherwise, if we all got saved at a different point in time that we got saved, then we don't need to do anything. We just sit where we are, carry on with our lives, and nothing's going to happen. So it's belief in salvation, obedience, walking in the Spirit, and you're drawing out the promises. And that's what we heard in this one of the spiritual gifts. Don't neglect the word of God. Neglect him, and he will show you things. And the promises of God are there every day. And that leads me to the next slide. And it's about giving. And what is it that we give? And that was our camp thing, the summer camp in the UK and in Europe. We are here to give. If we go to the next slide, please. I may not need my stick now. What is it that we give to people? It's the good news, the gospel. It's fundamentally what we want to do. Tomorrow morning when you're at work, you must find a way. Pray. I've heard a brother said every time he prays for an opportunity to share the word of God, always presents itself. But every time he prays for a Maserati, it never happens. So you know what the Lord's going to listen to. I'm not sure what your likes are, the needs are, but the Lord would always give you someone. And I heard our brother Kenneth saying earlier, he had the opportunity to witness to people. Now, super evangelists. All of us are core base evangelists. And then you have the super evangelists. And they just get a kick out of witnessing to people. It's just there's something. I don't know what he's saying because I have a little bit of an insight. I'm not a super evangelist. But when you love evangelizing and talking about the things of God, there is just, you get something. The Lord feeds you something. And he just really sustains you. And you're digging in and you're really establishing and solidifying your relationship with the Lord. Inspiration is the next thing. As you give, you get inspired. And it's twofold, it's two way. As you're inspired, as an example of our brother Kenneth earlier in the testimony there, and what happens also is that the person who's hearing you gets inspired. Okay? How should they hear? The scripture tells us, unless we go forth and share. How should they hear unless they hear the word of God? And that's the way, they hear it through faith. And so it's important that also sometimes we may not get a chance to speak vocally to people. And I often say this to my folks back home. For you and me, in a way, you're the living word. The Lord in Peter, in the letter of Peter says, we're lively stones. We're not dead stones. The church of God is a functional, organic body. It moves. And I know that you refer to yourselves here as a movement. So when, most people think traditionally churches are a fixed thing. Well, actually, each one is alive. The stones move. And they move everywhere. And then they come together again in a solid state. And they move again. And that's the word of God going out fresh, like bread every day, giving and providing a source of living water. So that brick of stone, it's like the spring. No one understands how can we have a spring of water from a fountain shooting forth. But actually, you'll know the example that happened in the wilderness there when Moses was told, speak to the rock and the water shall flow out. Unfortunately, he struck, but that's another example, it's another talk. But you are the stone, the lively stone from which water gushes out. And it's not natural water, it's the living waters of the living God because of the Holy Spirit that is in you and in me. And the next one is victories. Victories. You give, you inspire, you're assured of victory. A victory on the day, tomorrow, there is a potential soul to be saved. I went to university between age 5 and 88. with a number of people, and there was a girl there. I was speaking to Pastor Colin about her, called Asmi Moyes, and I've not kept in touch with her because when I became Christian, I just kind of thought I needed to sever all the links I had with people. I went because I was a bit of a socialite, I was a bit of a clubber, and that was my old life, and into all the social things and party things and all that sort of stuff. And I just knew that that was a distraction for me, because in my first year in the Lord, I had one foot in the world, one foot in the Lord, and I was not balanced. And I had to make up my mind which way I wanted to go. So for me, the way I had to do it was I had to cut. I cut those links. And now here I'm in Singapore, and I know she came from Singapore. And I thought, well, you know what, let me see. I'm on LinkedIn with her or something like that. And, over the years, she sort of sent me an invitation. I accepted. Oh, never been to Singapore. I'm in Singapore, a capture place. There's an opportunity to meet with her this evening. So I hope that I'll be able to share the word of God. So please keep me in your prayers. If the Lord has a plan for her, that she's part of the work and so on and so forth, who knows? We'll see. And it's about, as we crystallize those victories, and it's not just one-time victory, it's every day. And that's what the E for me stands for, every day. And it's evergreen again. You know, you give out the good news, you inspire, you get the victories every day, and it carries on. It's not a chain you can break. That's the way the Lord designed it. And it's really, really simple. What are the five effectual habits or characteristics of saints with a growth and not a fixed mindset? One is, such a person is not given to dissembling. What does that mean? Let's go to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. The first thing is, that person is not a dissembler. And that ties back to what we heard in the testimony earlier today, and also in the spiritual gift about being a testimony for God. In Psalm 26. Verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. You know, pretenders, hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another. Brothers and sisters, from the day we were born again, we repented, we were baptized by full immersion in water, we received the Holy Spirit, we became examples like Christ, we became the prototype Jesus Christ. You and me are like Jesus Christ on this earth today. And we are prototypes of our Lord, our Savior. And so we cannot be anything else but that. We cannot be anything else but that. We can't have one face this way and have another face that way, especially behind the scenes. What we are here is what we must be at home, is what we must be one way or another where we have in private fellowship. It must be what we are at work. We can't be a Jekyll and Hyde kind of character. That's called split personality. And that is bordering on schizophrenia. We don't want that. We're not called to be schizophrenic or schizophrenia kind of people. We are a people who have been born again. The people might say the light, as we heard again in the scripture here today, shining and illuminating in our lives. In verse 5, onwards. Let's just finish that. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. In verse 6 there, we touched a little bit about that last week, about innocency. Adam and Eve were naked and innocent in the Garden of Eden, you know, utopia. And you might think, oh, God, golly, gosh, they were naked. Oh, I guess say that's not proper, is it? You know, the Victorians might say, or whatever. But actually, that was the whole point about the example in the Bible there. It's about spiritual innocency. We talked about that last week. We don't need to repeat that now. So we need to keep our hearts and our conscience clean, is what we're talking about here. You know, really being true. We heard a strong emphasis in the spiritual gift. Examine yourself. Examine yourself whether you are walking with me. And if you're not, the word of God will show you. If you're not, I will reveal that to you. Examine yourself. Whether you're walking in the path, a strong emphasis today that we are walking in the path that we have been called to walk in. Two or three gifts, at least three, really homing on that emphasis about walking in the path that I've set you on. And if you listen and adhere to my words and heard another spiritual gift, two of them, and then you will stick to that path, that straight and narrow way, and not be drawn to the wider, the broad and wider, way that leads to destruction and damnation at the end of it all. So everything I need to say has been said in this, Richard, but I'm just re-emphasizing this thing again. In verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? We heard in the opening spiritual gifts about being not being thankless. You know, just re-emphasizing again the spiritual gift. God is giving you a balanced diet today. So for those who are not here, unfortunately, there might be genuine reasons why people are not here today, but we're missing out on a balanced diet today. That's why for me, I would never apologize. I bang on week in, week out, you must be committed to God. You must be committed to Christ. You can't afford to miss meetings. Sorry, in my book, you can't afford to come together, forsake the coming together of one another, because I have something, or you also have something I need every week. So when you're away, you're denying me the fullness of the diet that God has given to me. So when you're not here, I'm missing out. When I'm not here, well, you're not going to miss out, but you've got Pastor Colin and all that, and Pastor Andy. You know, you're not, you know, you're going to keep, you're going to have continuity. Really need to understand, got to understand that, that each and every one of us has a purpose. And we cannot underestimate that we are important to God. We may, the world may look at us at large and look at us and think, these people are not significant. But boy, oh boy, I sat there today, listened to something. I was moved. I was touched. I was convicted. And we heard in the opening preamble there, Pastor Wallace said, making sure your ears are open and listening in to what the Word of God has to say. Because if you do listen, you are touched. You know, and when we pray, God has called us into a peaceful state, a peace of mind that passes all understanding. There's no point praying and getting up and praying and not being touched. So when we go into that closet and we pray, we've got to make sure that we're touched. And we get that rest, the renewing of the rest that God has given to us, just like it was on that first day when we came to know Him. In verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, fellowship. If you love fellowship, you'll be committed to fellowship. And all the people said, that's what he's talking about here. And as a foreshadow of things to come, of the order of things that God has now put in place for you and I, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. God's honor dwells here, not at the soirees, not at the gym, not at the restaurant, or any other place that we might have to go to today beyond the meeting time. I'm not saying we can't go and do all the other things we need to do, but I'm not saying that. You know, we have liberty, but as we heard, I've been hearing those things over the years. Use not your liberty and things like that. When sometimes needs come up as well, you have to visit somebody, a relative, you know, as an occasional. But I don't have a problem with occasional things. But when it becomes a trend, then I have a problem. When there's a habitual nature of missing the coming together of one another. I cannot emphasize that enough. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just something that the Lord has wired into the minds of pastors and that we have to message out all the time. And it sounds like, you know, we hear this again. We're going to get the violin out. Actually, that was beautiful playing violin. I can hear it. Bing, bing. It was great. And it's just what the Lord wants us. He wants us people to understand that although we might live what seemingly seems to be an ordinary life, but you're not ordinary because the Spirit of God, the creative Spirit that made all this thing happen, is in you. And yet when we look at each other, the world doesn't see that Spirit jumping out yet. But when the glory of the Spirit will be revealed, as we heard in one of the scriptures, they will be ashamed and we will be laughing all the way to heaven, not all the way to the bank. Because we will be cashing in on our spirit. The earnest of our redemption, talked about that in Ephesians, what a down payment that God gave to us. It's amazing. We must not undervalue what God has given to us. Every day, you're feeling rough, you're not quite where you should be, just think again. I've got the Spirit of God. Or what I use when I'm really challenged and I just, you know, sometimes you wake up and it's a bit of a gray day and you just got to get out and do all the things that I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I remind myself I speak in tongues. That tells me something amazing happened to me so many years ago. And you just get out and get on with it. And so that's an important thing to bear in mind. Moving on. But we've said enough there. Just move on to Proverbs 26. We can read the rest of our homework in verses 9 to 12. Keep an eye on the explanation. Proverbs 26. He that dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. So the encouragement that he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within himself or herself. We don't want to be a people who are two-faced. Is what we're talking about here. And in Galatians 2:13, just go with that and then move on to the next point. Galatians 2, chapter 13. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, rather. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, who was carried away with their dissimulation, that word is hypocrisy. And so the first characteristic of a saint with a growth mindset is somebody who doesn't dissemble, because dissembling is an action, as we heard in the spiritual gift, which leads other people to do other things, the wrong things. And we heard that very strongly today because of Peter's dissembling. We can learn from this. Obviously, he changed. And Barnabas was affected by that action and got carried away and followed that behavior as well. And there's a story. You can read the whole chapter for context, but the thing I'm laying down here is one of the core thing about a born-again Christian, a saint, with a growth mindset, is someone who guards carefully their actions and therefore not a dissembler. That's the one thing. The next thing is someone who is effectual as a saint with a growth mindset is someone that is not discouraged by opposition. So I'm talking about trials and challenges, and they come upon us sometimes like a rain, like a downpour, and sometimes, hardly, and sometimes not very for many years or whatever. But when they do come, they're not discouraged or give up, or throw it in and pack it in. We stay focused on the things of God. So far, not a dissembler, not discouraged by opposition. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but the scripture to use as an example concerning the story is in the book of Ezra, in chapters 4-6. And it talks about how the people, I just read out two verses to you in Ezra, so you get the context of what I did. Ezra is just before Nehemiah. In Ezra chapter 4, and it's about a small number of people that returned from captivity to start to rebuild the city again, and especially the temple. And then Nehemiah later went and he rebuilt the walls. And so we read in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So it's an example of stuff in our lives coming upon us. They come upon us in many ways. It might be your school, if you're a student, or university. It might be your job. It might be your neighbor. It might be something, or it might be a family-related matter. It could be a multitude of things which projects itself on top of this underlying principle. And what the theme here is, whatever the challenge might be, whatever the opposition might be, whatever wherever it comes from, we got the Lord behind us. The Lord is there. We're told it will never forsake us. In Hebrews 13, we're told in verse, I'll just read that to you. In verse 5, I believe. I'll just read that, confirm that. Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, and I'll read that this for you actually in the Amplified, but you don't need to turn to it. And it says in verse 5, in Hebrews 13, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possession. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. And then he goes on to talk about splitting finishes there, which is the translation from the Hebrew. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Three times he makes that emphasis, I will not, I will not, I will not. For emphasis, God will not forsake his people, especially those who are faithful to him. And all people said. Okay, so let's move on from there. So you got the point there. But the next thing is you have to be committed to God. In a way, I've kind of talked to that. So I'm going to give you some scriptures for homework. I'm not going to repeat it again. As I said, the more I learn of the things of God, the more I realize I need to be more committed, which means I probably can count the number of times I've missed meeting in my 31 years on my hands. That should be the measure for all of us. I know what people say. You know, whenever there's the convocation of the body of Christ coming together, that's really important. But the scripture I like to read and just draw out some things is in this, on this particular characteristic, is in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And for homework, please read John 14, 15, John 15, 7, Mark 12, 30 is what we're going to read. Mark 12:30. The second commandment, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Okay? I'm sorry, so the first commandment, not the second commandment. First commandment. The two commandments condensed into a summary. In fact, I'm told there are probably between 500 to 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament, and then the Lord boiled it down to two. In fact, people think it's a commandment. Actually, what the Lord did was he took all this sundry 500, 600 plus and condensed it into two principles. God, loving him first with all your heart, hearkening unto him, then love him with all those four attributes. We're going to look at those four things, pillars he mentioned for by way of insight. And then second thing is apply that principle to loving your neighbor. Take what you learn concerning this and apply it at large to everyone at large, within and without, saved and unsaved. So I want to look at those four things as mentioned in here in verse 30. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. The heart, when the Lord uses that as an example, what the Lord is talking about is the epitome of self. Give your full life to it. When the Lord talks about your heart, if I take your heart away, now, literally come into you and take your heart, if I'm able to, and say I have an infinity ring, I think that's it. I can take your heart. What happens to your body? It dies. Your heart is you, in the organic sense. Then he goes on to talk about the spiritual side, the soul. And that is about being faithful. And overarching principle, if I had a servant, I don't. But I think some people may do here, may do whatever. Because let's move on. And let's not even like, there's no need to enlarge that. If I had a servant and I had two, and there's one I give money to periodically, and there's another one I give periodically, and when I come to balance my books at the end of each month, I say, give me the ledger, my debits, I'm an accountant, debits and credits. And I find there's always a shortfall with one, but I'm always getting a bit of a, not, you know, either it balances up, I get a little bit of a surplus. Which one am I going to link to? I'm going to link to the one that I have this trusting, that will keep a careful record of my position, and actually also shows me that I'm increasing. The one that seems not to be able to manage things well, I'm not going to put much trust on him or her. So the emphasis here is the Lord is saying, you're a soul, I've given you a soul. Each and every one of us has a soul. That defines who we are. It gives character to the heart. Okay? So you need a soul. The soul is, you know, the spirit that the Lord's going to bring up that day. But, you know, God knows each and every person, as I say. This physical, the natural heart, will die. But the soul, the essence of the person, spiritually, will come about. So God is only going to work better, or best, or more effective with those who are faithful. And we not only need to be faithful to God, but because we're also personification of Christ, we also need to be faithful to who? To who? To each other. We also need to be faithful to each other. And it's important that we understand these things. And so if we're faithful to one another, we're not going to want to do anything harmful. And you can think about all the other things that go with that in the context of the 10 principles or the 10 commandments, as we seem to call it these days. So that's an important principle. And when you look at the mind, that talks about meditation on the Word of God. So David, the psalm is peppered with that idea of with my mind. Say, what does it say in one of the psalms? It says, when my heart is consumed with turmoil, it says, I would renew my heart with cheer, meditating on your word, and the words of that effect. And that's what David had, the psalms, constantly when agitation and troubles came, meditating on the word of God, as we heard effectively in two spiritual gifts, one interpretation, one spirit, one prophecy, about applying the word of God in the life, meditating on the word of God. It's like taking an aspirin or Panadol. I'm not sure what the equivalent is here for a headache. You know, same thing. Okay? So, word of God, you got something. As we heard in the amazing testimony of Sister Susan? No, because she has two applications for BTO. What's BTO, by the way? You love acronyms. You love too much acronyms. What's BTO? That posh, eh? Hey guys, built to order. Okay, where is she? She's not here. Sister, you go. Can I come to you and get a built to order? Okay. So BTO, and that, you know, the world says no. We go into the world and go, it's magical, spiritually speaking. And so, Lord, this is what your word says. Luke 18:27, for the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. So we say, Lord, I don't care much for the no. I don't have respect. I have respect to your word. I have respect to your promises. And I want to draw this promise down. And she did. And sometimes we may have to wait. Sometimes we don't have to wait. Sometimes we may wait for the Ferrari. And sometimes we don't have to wait for the Ferrari. But I don't think everybody is going to be getting a Ferrari anytime soon. So, well, the Lord says he will supply our needs, not our wants. That said, in Psalm 37, in verse 4 and verse 5, in verse 4 he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. So if you want a husband, if you're a single person, if you want a wife, if you're a single person, it's a nice desire. And all the single people said, okay, all right, and God will fulfill that. If you want to be the Prime Minister of Singapore, if that's the desire you have because you want to change things, well, if the heart is right, there might be one or two of us, the Lord might give, make way, but I'm not so sure. That might be an answer to prayer that will be answered very quickly. You get my drift. But that is so important to bear in mind. And this is the sort of things we're looking at today. The last one of the four things mentioned there concerning commitment to God, strength. Regular and inconsistent fellowship with God and church. That's strength. God gives you enough strength, enough energy. You know, in America, you have this character. I like sci-fi. I'm a bit of an Avenger fan. My favorite hero is Brother Joseph knows that. Black Panther. If I had a wish, I would love to be the Black Panther. I dream. But here in Singapore, we have Captain Singapore, not Captain America. But I often think sometimes I see the messaging coming from Pastor Colin. I hear it's gone there, it's gone here. And it's like, doesn't time zones apply or doesn't timelines apply in the world? I don't know how he does it. Full of energy. And what I'm talking about here is strength. God gives you the ability to do the things that inspires a lot of people concerning the advancement of his work. So many people say, I don't know how I do it. I'm able to do all those other things, and yet I don't seem to have the time. God stretches time. He stretches the pound to go that distance. You may not have the fullness of the money that you need, but somehow, miraculously, all your needs are met. You balance the books at the end of the month. The bills are paid. So many wonderful testaments, which I'm not going to go into. But what I'm saying is the Lord makes provision. He gives you the energy, and he will allow you to do those things. So we talked so already about commitment. We looked at the four things that have been spoken to in Mark 12:30. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. But ultimately for me, strength is about body of Christ, consistent fellowship with God and church. It's the Lord would see to it that you have the strength to serve him every day. So it's really important to bear those things in mind. And then the other thing is humility. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit more at large about that, but the only scripture I'm going to share, I'm going to give you the rest for homework to read. We heard it said today in the closing spiritual gift about humility. You cannot be humble enough. And Isaiah 57 verse 15. But please read Psalm 51:17, Psalm 34:18 for homework. Isaiah 57 verse 15. Okay. Sorry. Oh dear. Isaiah 57 verse 15. Isaiah 57 verse 15. So I'm getting carried away. Sorry, Sister Heather. I've not lost you so far yet though, have I? Okay, everybody's following. Yeah, okay. Isaiah 57 verse 15. Okay. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. And it really is important to understand this. We're told that God resists the proud in Peter and gives grace to the humble. So really important for us to understand that we need to be humble before the Lord. No matter how many years we've been with the Lord, we must still be teachable. And we must be moldable, and so on and so forth. And finally, the one which I really want to talk to as well is given to hospitality. Okay. So far, the five things which a saint that has a great mindset has: somebody who doesn't dissemble, somebody who's not discouraged by opposition, somebody who's committed to God, somebody who's humble, and finally, somebody who's given to hospitality. I just want to go to Titus 1:8, please. Titus 1:8. But it's to finish up on that particular scripture. Titus 1:8. So a saint that has a great mindset, as someone who's given to hospitality, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Someone that is, the word temperate there, someone who's strong in a thing, has self-control, and so on and so forth. The other scripture I just want to also touch on is Romans 12, 13. I'll just go to Romans 12, 13 on that point. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. These are important things. There is something I just want to share, to slow things down a little bit. People may have perceptions about us. It is important to acknowledge that we may have perceptions about one another. Like Sister Heather obviously has a perception about scriptures. But whatever your perception might be of others, what the Lord is saying is, you may be right on your perception, but how you go about it reveals your heart. Okay? I may do something continuously wrong. I may just have an area of development in my spiritual walk that I need to address. Yeah. I'm still working and I speak too fast sometimes when I'm getting into things. But what the Lord is saying is, how you give me feedback concerning my area of development. We all have areas of development. I have tons of it, but I'm not going to share it with you because I don't want you to come and use it against me. But how you go about it really reveals your heart. Now, you could do it in the spirit of love, or you could do it from the point of view, I think, I'm not sure whether it's the last week or this week, about not having, I think it was last week, about not having our own self-righteousness. Okay? It's not about righteousness. So, how you go about giving me feedback is important as well, because then that makes you wrong. But if you do it the right way, it makes it right because you help me and I take it on. Now, if I don't accept that feedback given to me in love, then it's up to me then. You follow. This is really, really important. I have nothing more to say, but I just want to say one really small thing. I really enjoyed my time here. I really have been touched by the hospitality. And, you know, one of the first miracles that Jesus performed was turning water into wine. Jesus brought forth, I said at the beginning of my talk, bring out treasures, old and new. Jesus not only brought out the old, but also brought out the new. And it was going to teach them what the new was going to be all about. In this week, I have received treasures spiritually and food-wise, cakes and all. La Sila and all that sort of stuff. And what else is there? I don't know. Many other things we've eaten. And it's just been wonderful. But nothing beats with breaking of bread together like we are doing here today. God set it up this way. He, before the foundation of the world, he could see this timeline. And it sees beyond into the millennium as well, which we are yet to experience and taste as well. So I just want to say thank you. I'm not going to get a chance to go around and say thank you, Reverend. Thank you for the fellowships, the food, the bed, Pastor Colin Kim and Jonathan, and everybody else, Sister Celestin, Auntie Shirley, Uncle, and many others, and Cheryl, I'm going to be careful now because I mentioned this. Whenever I mention it, then I get in trouble because I always leave one person out. So everybody, I just say thank you for all the wonderful things and all the amazing experience. But we just keep on keeping on, keep bringing out spiritual treasures, and keep growing and keep having a growth mindset. Never, never think that you've come to an end. There is much more to learn. And all people said, I'll leave it there.